We want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. This week was known as Thanksgiving. Thursday was known as Thanksgiving. And I was trying to decide what to preach about. Seemed like I've spoken many times about thanks and Thanksgiving. But as I thought more about it, I realized a need in my own heart to be reminded of Thanksgiving. And to search really in my heart really how thankful I am. Another incident that put my mind down that track was a conversation that we had Thursday there to get together. It's an older gentleman who was complaining and sure that many people were against him and working against him, and he had many, many complaints, as he often does. And a younger man that was there took upon himself to challenge him and tell him that we really do have it good here. We really have many, many things to be thankful for, and really we don't have much to complain about. And it was a conversation, well, not all of us got involved because probably it's a discussion we've had times past and we knew we wouldn't get very far. But the young man didn't quit. He stood up for it. We have many things to be thankful for. And I walked away from that conversation and I was somewhat smitten because do I stand up for what's for thankfulness? Do I stand up for what God has given us? Or am I tempted to complain? Where am I at on that? And do I really represent thankfulness in all areas of my life? As other people know me, do they know me as someone who complains or as someone who is thankful? And how does that bear out in my life? So I dug into it a bit, and I would like to share with you some of what I have found and some of what has spoken to me. I would like to title it this morning, Thankfulness, An Uncommon Attitude. Thankfulness, an uncommon attitude. Thankfulness is something that is very important. The Bible speaks a bunch about it, and we need to be reminded from time to time because it doesn't come natural for us. It's not our natural attitude. There's a study I came across called the Family Strengths Research Project. And the researchers identified 6 qualities that make for strong families. The first quality, and one of the most important to be found in strong families, was the quality of appreciation. Families are strong in part because family members express to each other their appreciation for what the other members do and for who they are. So you kind of try to process that. So that's more than just saying thank you for the meal. That's saying thank you, letting others know that you appreciate them for who they are and the place they fill in your family. Thank you for the children and for the part they are to your family. Thank you for father and mother, the part they play in your family. Thanks. We express appreciation to other members for what they do and who they are. Similar study, another researcher looked into the effect of praise in the workplace. His study showed that the ratio of praise to criticism in the workplace needs to be 4 to 1 before employees feel that there is balance. You must praise them 4 times as much as you criticize if someone's going to feel worthwhile and feel accepted, feel worthwhile on the job. Many times we're probably more tempted to think that the criticism is needed and we gave some thanks somewhere in the past, but do we thank people and express appreciation as much as we should? Double check yourself, do we do that 4 times as much as we criticize? It's probably hard to keep track, but means we need to do more. It means I need to do more appreciation, express more appreciation to others. Gratitude is nothing less than the key to happiness. Someone has said there's a secret to happiness, and it is gratitude. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people cannot be happy. I don't know. It's not necessarily taken directly from the Bible, and yet we see it borne out many times from Bible truths. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people cannot be happy. We tend to think that it's being unhappy that leads people to complain. But it is truer to say that it is complaining that leads to people becoming unhappy. Become grateful, and you will become a much happier person. Which comes first, unhappiness or complaining? Well, he's saying that complaining leads to unhappiness. And so we can choose whether we're going to complain or whether we're going to express gratitude, whether we're going to be thankful, and that will change our attitude. That will change our attitude of life, whether we're unhappy or we're happy. Many songs that we sing are full of thanks to God. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, is the way Psalm 92 starts. Is it because God needs our gratitude? Does God need to hear our appreciation for Him? No, it's probably much more. It does something for us. It does something to us to express thanks to others. God's listening for us to do that. And God wants us to be thankful people. But it's not because He needs it. It's because we need it. God, learning to be thankful, whether to God or to other people, is the best vaccination against taking good fortune for granted. The less you take for granted, the more pleasure and joy life will bring to you. Many times, especially today, we tend to think that we deserve many things and we take many things for granted. The more things we take for granted, the less thankful we'll be and the less happy we'll be. If we can expect less, we can lower our expectations, lower the amount that we think we deserve, we'll be more thankful and more happy. Now, we tend to base our contentment on what we see around us. We look around, and if we have, we tend to think that if we have more than the general population around us, then that makes us, then we feel like we're blessed. We tend to base our status line on those we see around us. But when our country is blessed the way it is, and we live among the wealthiest people in the world, I think it does us good to look a bit further for a moment. We really are living among very blessed and very wealthy people. And if we really stretch our eyes out for a bit, we do have many things to be thankful for. I dug up a couple statistics I want to share with you, and there's probably many others and many other ways. I know Gary Miller has that book, and I didn't have access to that. I dug these up myself. But there'd be many, many others we know that we could look at. But just a couple things. We're told that 773 million adults around the world are illiterate. They can't read or write. It's around 14% of the world population. So that's not a huge percentage, and that's changed. That's almost reversed in the last 100 years. 100 years ago, there was about 14% could read and write. But now there's about 14% or 770 million people that can't read or write. We can read, we take that for granted. We've known that since we're 6 or 7 years old. And but there's people today in this world that can't pick up a book and look at it and read it. Basic sanitation. 23% of the schools worldwide have no toilets at all, we're told. 23% of the schools worldwide have no toilets. Estimated 10% of the world population doesn't have access to any toilet facilities at all. Estimated 10% doesn't have access. I mean, that's a low percentage, but that's many, many people don't have access to toilet facilities at all. It's even hard for us to grasp that, comprehend that at all. Go to Liberia or some other places like that, you can understand just a little bit more of that. In 2020, 770 million people did not have access to clean water. Now, we have water on the table, and that's great. We enjoy that. But many times we think we need to have a special drink, something a little bit more than water. But 770 million people in the world do not have access to clean water, to good water that they can drink and it's healthy for them. In 2014, so that's didn't find anything real recent, but 10 years ago, about a quarter of the children in the United States lived in a one-parent home. About a quarter, 26% of the children in the United States lived in one-parent home in 2014. Many of us are blessed, and we come to expect and look for a normal family life, but there's many people even in the United States that do not have what we would consider, what we tend to think is a normal family life. Think of as that. In 2022, it's estimated that only about 10% of the world population owned a car. And we get pretty concerned and worked up about our cars when they get too old and they hardly work or they might break down and all those kind of things, how new it is. But only 10% of the world population actually owns a vehicle. We truly have many areas, many ways, many reasons to be thankful. Now, another thinking about how thankful we are, I came upon this ranking of thankfulness, and I'm not sure, it's a way of thinking about it, and I would just give this for your consideration. It's kind of three different levels of thankfulness, we could say. First level of thankfulness would be expressed in Hebrews 13:15. You don't need to turn to it. We'll turn to several Psalms in a little bit. But Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And that's pulling it out as looking at it as the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, when we think about a sacrifice, we think about giving up something. When we make a sacrifice, we're saying, I am not sure about doing this, maybe, but I know that I should. I have to give up something, and I know it should. I know I should. I know it's deserved. But I'm seeing the thing that I'm sacrificing, the thing that I'm giving up. And many times it's like that. We know that we should say thank you for the meal, and so we do. We know that we owe the person a thank you for what they've done for us, and so we give them that. And so that's kind of the first step of thankfulness, giving it to someone because we know we are responsible and obligated to respond to them that way. May not be easy or may not be spontaneous, but we know it's the only way to replace. Okay. And it is being thankful, even as a sacrifice, giving it as a sacrifice, giving our thanks as a sacrifice, is the first step in getting rid of the complaining attitude within us. It helps us to realize, helps us to respond the way the Bible tells us to, and helps us to overcome that complaining attitude and have a right attitude. Now, the next two attitudes play on the words in two different verses that we look at different times. But the next level we could say, would be 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And we could look at that and as being, no matter what situation in life there is, we find something to be thankful about. No matter if you're experiencing prosperity or adversity, you have, no matter what situation in life you're in, you can find something to be thankful about. And so that takes, you're looking for something to be thankful for even when you don't feel like being thankful. And that indicates that thanksgiving is in your heart. It's a step above the first thing we looked at there. We're not so much making a sacrifice, but we realize that we're mature enough to realize that even though the thing we're in right now may not be what we want or enjoy, we know that God is with us and He deserves our praise. We know that there's something around us that we can be thankful for. We can always find something to be thankful for, and we're going to look for what that thing is. Now, the third level would be from Ephesians 5:20, where it says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you could look at that as a more advanced or the most advanced stage of thanksgiving in our heart. When we see God bigger than all our things, and we realize that all the things that He brings into your life, He's doing for a purpose and are going to work out to good according to His will. Now, I don't claim to fully understand that. I don't claim to fully be there. There's many different things that are brought into our lives that we cannot understand. But the Bible teaches thanksgiving to the point where we see God in what's happening to us, and we give Him thanks, not that we understand what it's going to produce in our life, but that we have confidence and faith in Him that it's going to produce something good. Three different levels of thankfulness. We can, in a sense, we grow into them as we start with the first one there by giving thanks as a sacrifice, and then being able to look for things to be thankful for in no matter where, what situation we're in, and then finally seeing God in all that He brings into our life. What is your maturity level? How thankful are you truly? Which one of those three stages are you at? Am I at? The Bible teaches thankfulness for us. Now, thankfulness is for all areas of our life, and we know that. We are thankful. We like to be thankful. We are thankful in many things. Thanksgiving is first of all to God, and as we're thankful to God, thankfulness will also be known to man. There are two different aspects that we're looking at here and that the Bible teaches. One is thankfulness to God, and the Bible talks much about that. But as we're thankful to God, we're going to become thankful, our thankfulness will be known to other people, because we see other people, God working through other people. And as we see that, then we're thankful to them. Now, as I was studying, I came across several different things that stretched my mind. So these are not necessarily original with me. But areas that we are thankful in, we should be thankful for our home life. And we talked about single-parent homes, and especially as a result of divorce and other kinds of many of the things that affect marriages in our day here. But are we thankful? I mean, it's easy to be thankful for the blessings that come, that are given to us. But are we thankful for our home life, for the home we have? And your home probably isn't perfect. I don't know if I know of any home that is perfect. But are we thankful for that? Is there something that you can be thankful for in your home? Well, certainly there is. But do I always remember that? I know I do not. Can we be thankful for our finances? And, of course, that's a sensitive subject. But really, and that was mentioned some in Sunday school, but really, are we thankful for what God has given us? Are we thankful for what He has blessed us with? We wish it would be a little more. We could do a little more good if we had, if He'd bless us a bit more. But really, has God blessed you? Should we be thankful for that? Another area that I didn't really think about is be in our church life. And are we thankful for the church life we have? And there's parts of it that we're obviously thankful for. And yet it's awful easy to complain and to be critical of others. And be critical of the way things are done. And be critical that it's not done quite right. And that we hurt somebody and we did this and we did that. But are the things that we're thankful for in it? Are we really thankful for the church life we have? And that's not to say that, well, let me go on to another one, would be our job. Are we thankful for the job we have? It's awful easy in the tendency and the influence from outside today is to be critical of our job, to be unhappy with the boss, and to be unhappy with the hours we have to work, and be unhappy with the type of work that's given to us. And we face unthankfulness in many ways as it comes to us. And I've seen people, and you probably certainly have too, who are unthankful, who are critical of their work. And it doesn't matter if they get another job and they get or move to a different position, they're still critical. It's you soon realize that, hey, it's not really the job that they're facing. It's the attitude that we have in it. And that's not to say that with a particular job, there's times when it doesn't meet our need and we need a change. And maybe we'd say that about church life too. There's maybe times when it doesn't meet our need and we need a change. But in whatever church life you're in, you can find things to be thankful for. And that will help us tremendously rather than being critical. All right, let's turn to Psalm 100, please. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. Just pull a little bit more practical things, maybe. Psalm 100, I want to read the five verses there. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise him, thank him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And I guess I would like to point out there that thanksgiving is more than just a verbal recognition. But thanksgiving produces actions. And if we're thankful, we will serve the Lord with gladness. It will be manifest in our actions by what we do, if we're thankful. I believe I'll bring it out here. Studying through this a bit, there's some different words in the Bible that are used to reference the word thanks. And one of them that was closely related was the word shalom. Shalom, I'm not sure exactly how you would say that, which in many times in Bible times was used as a greeting, but it was much more than just simply a simple greeting. It expressed blessing on the other person. It expressed hello, but it expressed a blessing on the other person and a sense of general well-being or satisfaction and contentment. In other words, it was kind of the idea that may God bless you and may your talents and your abilities be used to the maximum, to the full potential. May you make a success of your life. May you be successful and be accomplished. It kind of rolled that all into a general blessing and a general hello, much more than just what we think of as hello. Think of Thanksgiving. We think of, well, that's, yeah. It's ways that we can bless other people, and that's not directly related to the word thanks, but it was part of an expression of thanks, an expression of well-being, an expression of God's blessing on your life. We want to bless you in whatever way we can. Interesting side note that I'd come across. In verse 4 there, it talks about entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I can picture people gathering at God's house with hearts full of praise and admiration for God. And that's a beautiful picture to me, and a picture that I like to think about. People coming to God's house full of God, full of thanks and praise to him. Because finally, verse 5, in the final view of things, if we really step back and look at God for who he is, realize who he is, God is good. He is merciful. He is truth. And it doesn't change. We can't always see the good and mercy of God in the dilemmas we face, but we can rest assured that we will see his purpose someday, that he has a purpose in what he leads us through. Excuse me. Another thought I came across was thanksgiving is thoughtfulness. Thanksgiving is thoughtfulness. It's not taking things for granted. It's thinking about them. And that's what this psalm does. It thinks about God. And if we think about God, if we really look at God and see him for who he is, it helps to bring praise and thanksgiving into our heart. Now, turn to Psalm 145. And I think I'll just read this, the 21 verses of this psalm. Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom, Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth through all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, and to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This verse talks about praising God and what we owe him, what all he has done. How do we get a more thankful heart? Well, one way is to meditate on his blessings, to think about what he has done. And we see that as we go through this passage. Another way, or a further step of that, is to count and recount, to tell and retell the things that he has done for us. It's not an unusual idea that people are encouraged to write down the things that God has done for them. And that was one thing I came across. If we would write down the things that, it's a good idea to write down the things that God has done for us. And when we're tempted to complain or we're discouraged, go back and look at that. And go over the list of things that God has done for us. Because he has done many things for us. But it's so easy for us to forget them and to discard them and just see the trouble that's right in front of us. Verse 3, you see him seeing God as a big God who's over him, who is bigger than he is. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. It's beyond what we can fully comprehend. We can study all day long. We can learn about him all our lives. And yet we don't fully comprehend him. He is far bigger than anything we can imagine. The works of God deserve our admiration. His works are over all. So one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Do we really see God for who he is? Verse 9, God is good to all. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. God, it's easy for us to be good to some, but we're never out of God's mercies. We're never on God's blacklist as far as his blessings to mankind, except by our own choice. God is good to all men, and his offer of salvation does not discriminate in any way. It's to all people. Verse 20, we can rest assured that justice will be done. Part of our big God, he is truth and he is righteousness, and he will not stand for wickedness. Wickedness shall be destroyed. Is it possible to be thankful to God? And we see in this passage that we are to be thankful to God because who God is and what he's done for us. Is it possible to be truly thankful to God the way we should be and to not be thankful to other people? To not be thankful to those around us? Is there a way how easy is it for us to actually see God for who he is and be thankful to him the way we should be and not see him working through other people around us? Is that possible? Can we do that? Have I done that? I think if we search our souls, we probably aren't as thankful to God as we should be if we find ourselves not being thankful to those around us. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long. I like those verses that speak of our praise to God being continual thankfulness to him. continual praise and adoration to Him. Quickly, ingratitude, unthankfulness. We tend to be critical by nature. James 3, 9 and 10 says this, with our tongue, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So that kind of speaks of blessing God and cursing man. Maybe we're tempted to do that. God, we somewhat can hold in awe. We don't see Him directly quite like we see the faults in our fellow men, fellow mankind, and we tend to be critical of them. But God sees that as an inconsistency and as criticism of Him. He knows, God knows, that we have a tendency to a critical spirit. And He, Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Our lives are to be consistent. What we say is to be consistent, giving thanks to God in word and deed. And so that it gets extended to our fellow man. Some man by the name of Frank Fried had an excellent piece of advice. He says, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is not greener on this side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. The way to grow a thankful heart, the way to have a lot of blessings, is to turn your heart into a garden of thanksgiving, a place where you plant the seeds of thankfulness and fertilize and water them with constant tending, with constant praise and adoration to God. In other words, we can make our lives happy and contented if we're thankful. By the choice of thanksgiving, we can have our lives be green grass that we enjoy. Bible gives warnings to those who are not thankful because of the, well, it speaks of those in the end time who would were not righteous. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We recognize that as a sign of the end time, that men would be unthankful. And we see that today all around us, and we want to be careful that we are not part of that. In conclusion, that verse from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's will and His direction to us is to be thankful to Him, to see Him, to look for those things for which we can give thanks. Also Hebrews 13, 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's at least make that sacrifice and give Him, realize that we owe Him thanks with our lives. May the attitude of thankfulness be not uncommon among us, but may it be common among us. May we have and live the attitude of thankfulness. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.